السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الكلام كلام الله، وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار، وبعد. In today's session, أيها الإخوة, we look at one of the most important topics for the Muslimun in general. Whether we're speaking about the young Muslim, the Muslim who is an adult, or the elderly Muslim, this topic is of concern to each and every one of them. And that is that which relates to the manhaj and the methodology of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. For indeed, Allah Azza wa Jal, when He sent the prophets and the messengers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave each and every one of them a manhaj, a methodology, that they called their followers to, and that their followers adhered to. And it was by way of this methodology that their call and their da'wah, it was established upon these usus and upon these firm foundations. Indeed, Allah Azza wa Jal has mentioned, لِكُلِّنْ جَعَلْنَا مِنْهُمْ شِرْعَةً وَمِنْهَاجًا, that certainly to each and every one of them we have given a sharia and we have given a minhaj. That is, that Allah Azza wa Jal has given a sharia to each and every one of the prophets and the messengers that they govern their people by way of. And likewise, that Allah Azza wa Jal gave them a minhaj. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhumah, he mentioned concerning the statement of Allah, لِكُلِّنْ جَعَلْنَا مِنْهُمْ شِرْعَةً وَمِنْهَاجًا, he said that minhaj is a reference to sunnatan wasabila. That is, Allah Azza wa Jal gave to each and every one of the prophets and the messengers a sunnah and a path. And it is the sunnah of the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that our foundations and our methodology is taken from. And then by extension, the methodology of the prophets and the messengers that Allah Azza wa Jal has mentioned in the Quran. For indeed, the sunnah of the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was taken from the Quran. And it was the manifestation of that which Allah Azza wa Jal has given to us. As Aisha radiallahu anha, she mentioned, كَانَ خُلُقُهُ الْقُرْآنِ. When Aisha radiallahu anha was asked and questioned concerning the character of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she said, indeed, his character was the Qur'an. That is, the sunnah that he was upon, the character that he made manifest, his interactions with the people, all of that was the Qur'an. Yani, that he was the physical manifestation of the ahkam and the rulings that were present in the Quran. And thus Allah Azza wa Jal has mentioned concerning him, وَأَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرَى لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ, that certainly we have given to you the reminder, يعني the Quran, لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ, that you may explain to the people what was revealed to them. And thus the Prophet ﷺ, he was the physical manifestation of the explanation of the Quran. That which the companions observed and they saw from him, it was the manner in which the rulings of the Quran were to be manifest. And thus Allah Azza wa Jal makes mention of his khuluq by mentioning, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ, that certainly you are upon a tremendous character. خُلُق عَظِيم, not just any regular خُلُق, not just any regular mannerism or character. Allah Azza wa Jal described it as عَظِيم. And this is Al-Azim, referring to his characteristics as Azim. And so, when that is the case, the methodology of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is without doubt taken from the Book of Allah and from the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam by studying it, observing the two of them, reflecting upon that which Allah Azza wa Jalla has revealed, and reflecting upon the life of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And by doing so, we come to a clear, definitive definition of what we mean by methodology and manhaj. Yani the life of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that which he carried out by way of fulfilling the ahkam of the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thus, that which the companions of the Messenger of Allah took from him caused them to be the nation that they were, caused them to receive the praise of Allah Azza wa Jal in the Quran. Since that is what will occur for anyone who follows the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam upon this khuluqun azim, there is no doubt that he will have a portion of the praise that Allah Azza wa Jal has mentioned for his Messenger. The closer we cling and we stick to the path of the Messenger of Allah, to the way of the Messenger of Allah, the closer we adhere to his sunnah and to that which Allah Azza wa Jal has revealed in the Quran, the more we will receive a portion of the praise that Allah Azza wa Jal has given to him. Of course, we will not become prophets or messengers, but by sabr and yaqeen and ta'allum and ta'leem, we will without doubt gain the station of al-imamatu fi al-deen. Indeed, Allah Azza wa Jal has mentioned, وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْهُمْ أَئِمَّةً يَهْدُونَ بِأَمْرِنَا لَمَّا صَبَرُوا وَكَانُوا بِآيَاتِنَا يُوقِنُونَ, that we certainly made them a'imma, imams, being guided by our signs. لَمَّا صَبَرُوا, when they were patient, as long as they were patient. وَكَانُوا بِآيَاتِنَا يُوقِنُونَ, and they had certainty concerning our signs. And thus al-Imam Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he mentions based upon this ayah, بِالصَّبْرِ وَالْيَقِينِ تَنَالُ الْإِمَامَةُ فِي الدِّينِ, by way of sabr, patience and yaqeen and certainty, one obtains the station of imama in the deen, being an imam in the religion. And he becomes an imam the closer he clings to the path and the way of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And so, as far as his path and his way is concerned, and the one who studies his life, then he comes to certain conclusions. And he comes to what may be considered principles in the methodology of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam throughout his life. And we will mention some of the most important principles that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam manifested. For indeed, these qawaid are many. But there are some that are dominant and that should be dominant in the life of the Muslim. The first of the principles that we see in the methodology of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is his reliance in everything that he did upon that which Allah azza wa jal revealed to him. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whether it was the affairs related to his call or that which was related to his mu'amalat and his dealings with the people, that which was related to how he interacted with his family, that which is related to how he interacted with his companions, all of these things, all of these affairs, we see that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he relied strongly upon that which Allah azza wa jal gave to him from revelation. Whether it be the revelation of the Quran, or it be the revelation of that which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam received from the Sunnah, for indeed it too is revelation. Allah azza wa jal has mentioned, indicating clearly that which the Messenger ﷺ had from the Sunnah is likewise revelation. Allah mentioned, Azza wa Jal, now, Allah Azza wa Jal mentions, in relation to the affair then, we reiterate, of that which the Prophet ﷺ was given, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs us of the fact that it too was revelation. وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. Allah Azza wa Jal has mentioned, he does not speak from his desires. Certainly, it is revelation sent down. And so that which came from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whether it is the kitab, the book, or the sunnah, was likewise considered revelation. And oftentimes we will come across a hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked a question, and then he would pause and he would wait until the revelation came down to him. When the revelation came down to him, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would respond. And in some instances, the questioner would believe that the Prophet ﷺ had ignored him, or that he didn't hear him. The Messenger ﷺ was receiving revelation. Then that which he uttered was not the Quran. That which he uttered was what is recorded in the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so we have clear-cut evidence, numerous evidences and examples of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam receiving revelation, but that which he uttered was not the Quran, rather it was the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so, the first of the issues that we will look at and mention is that which is related to the fact that the Prophet ﷺ relied upon the book and the sunnah in relation to all of his affairs. And that is the first of our principles in the methodology and the manhaj. Our reliance upon the book of Allah and the sunnah of the messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We should know that the mi'yar and the yardstick in understanding the two of them is that we take the understanding of the companions of the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, those who received that revelation, and those who were the best to understand it, and those who, if there was a misunderstanding, the messenger of Allah clarified it to them. If there was an issue that was not clear, then they would ask, but O messenger of Allah, as far as the language of the book and the sunnah, then it was revealed in the tongue that they spoke, in the dialect that they spoke. It was revealed in the manner of speech that was common among them. Allah Azza wa Jal made it easy for them, and thus their understanding is tantamount to understanding the book and the sunnah. Al-Imam Ibn Al-Qayyim in I'lam al-Muwakki'in, he mentions discussing the fact that the speech of the companions is not the same as the speech of anyone else. And he mentions the fact that they were the best to understand the language. A number of issues he discusses. He mentions that they were the best to understand the language. They were those who the revelation was revealed upon and for. And he goes on to mention that in many instances you will find a statement that has been attributed to one of the companions, but then upon research and upon gathering the varying or taking from the varying sources, we find that in actuality, that statement that they made was in actuality a hadith with the exact wording. This is attributed to many of the companions, but they were afraid of attributing, in some instances, of attributing their statements to the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, since the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned that whomsoever attributes to me that which I did not say, فَلْيَتَبَوَّأْ مَقْعَدَهُ مِنَ النَّارِ, then let him take his seat in the hellfire, as occurs in that hadith that is mutawatir. And so in some instances, the companions, they would make the statement knowing it to be true, and knowing that they heard it from the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but they would not attribute it to him out of fear that they may possibly have made a mistake in relation to a letter or something minute. And so rather than narrating with meaning, even though that is permissible with the scholars of hadith, they would prefer to make the statement as though it was theirs. And so their statements, whether it is that which they attribute to the messenger of Allah or that which comes from themselves, these brothers and sisters are the best statements that anyone can use to understand what is in the book of Allah and to understand what is in the sunnah of the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They were with him from the very beginning, up until the time that the Messenger ﷺ passed away. And so their understanding is the understanding that we return back to da'iman wa abadan, constantly, in understanding that which Allah Azza wa Jal has revealed to his messenger. So this first principle then is of the essence, and it is the guiding light of the people of Sunnah and Salafiyyah. The second principle in relation to the manhaj and the methodology of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that which we saw from him encouraging his companions with ikhlas and with sincerity and with having sound niyyah and sound intent in everything that they do. And we see that throughout the book and the sunnah. In many issues, Prophet ﷺ would say, if a person does such and such, يَبْتَغِي بِذَلِكَ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ, seeking by way of that the face of Allah. Whoever does such and such and intends Allah. Whoever does such and such, but because of his niyyah, yani, or because of al-udhar, as the Prophet ﷺ, he mentioned, إِنَّكُمْ إِنَّ مِنْ وَرَائِكُمْ أو إِنَّ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ لَأَقْوَامٍ, that indeed in Medina there are a people. مَا سِرْتُمْ مَسِيرًا وَلَا قَطَعْتُمْ وَادِيًا إِلَّا شَرَكُوكُمْ فِي الْأَجَرِ حَبَسَهُمُ الْعُذَرِ. Prophet ﷺ, he said that indeed behind you in Medina there are a people, and this is in relation to a battle that the Prophet ﷺ went out upon with his companions. He said, behind you in Medina there are a people, you did not follow any path, neither did you go through any mountain passage, except that they have shared with you in the ajr. حَبَسَهُمُ الْعُذَرِ, but they were prevented by way of an excuse. Yani, they had a reason, a legitimate reason, that kept them back. And so, Allah Azza wa Jal, because of their niyyah, and because of their sincerity and their desire to be present, Allah Azza wa Jal rewarded them as though they were present. Of course, the rewards were not the same. The one that actually participated and the one that had the intent to participate, the rewards are not the same, but Allah Azza wa Jal rewarded them nonetheless. Indeed, Allah Azza wa Jal has informed us in the Quran of that. That Allah mentions, وَكُلًّا وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الْحُسْنَى, after discussing that those who participate and fight with their wealth and with themselves are not the same as those who stayed behind. فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ الْمُجَاهِدِينَ بِأَمْوَالِهِمْ وَأَنفُسِهِمْ عَلَى الْقَائِدِينَ دَرَجَةً وَكُلًّا وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الْحُسْنَى. Indeed, Allah Azza wa Jal has given virtue to those who have participated with them with their wealth and with themselves over those who stayed behind, but both of them Allah Azza wa Jal has promised good. And so throughout the book and the sunnah, we see the affair of the encouragement to have a good niyyah, sound niyyah, encouragement with ikhlas in everything that a person carries out. And thus these two formulate the conditions of the acceptability of any action. No action is accepted from the actions of the ibad except that they fulfill two conditions. Number one, that they have ikhlas and good and correct niyyah. And number two, that it is in accordance with the sunnah. The action that does not have ikhlas is considered shirk, even if it is in accordance with the sunnah. And the action that does not have the fulfillment of the sunnah but is sincere is bid'ah, regardless of how sincere it is. And so these two conditions are the conditions for the acceptability of every action. And so this then was a strong fundamental in the methodology of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The third issue that we'll discuss is that which is connected to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam clinging to the way of the Prophets and the Messengers of the past, clinging to the manhaj of the Anbiya. And that is in every single one of his affairs, other than that which Allah Azza wa Jal had revealed to him that opposed the methodology of the previous Prophets and Messengers. But alongside that which Allah Azza wa Jal gave to the Messenger, which was superior to anything that came before, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam still would mention the previous Prophets and Messengers and would praise them and would inform the companions of the ayat that were revealed mentioning their stories. And that is that Allah Azza wa Jal informs us of their stories in order that we may benefit from those who have come before us. As occurs in that principle that the people of knowledge mention, As-sa'idu man wu'ida bighayri. The one who is successful is the one who takes benefit from other than himself. That is, he learns lessons from other than himself. This is the one that is wise. This is the one that is hakim. He observes what happened in the past. He studies what happened in the past in order to learn lessons from it and in order to avoid the pitfalls that came upon them. And so Allah Azza wa Jal has blessed us with these stories, with these akhbar, that we may benefit from them and that we may understand that the prophets and the messengers were upon one page when it came to the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal. There may have been some issues in relation to their sharia that may have differed, but particularly in relation to the affairs of the fundamentals, then they were one and the same. And that leads us to a principle, ikhwan, in relation to abrogation. And that is that the scholars, when they discuss abrogation and that which has occurred in the book and the sunnah, from the abrogation of the elements of the sharia of the past or the shara'i of the past, we should know that this abrogation does not occur in relation to the affairs of usul. Ya'ani, the fundamentals of the deen are one. Whether at the time of the Prophet ﷺ or at the time of the previous prophets and messengers. Abrogation occurs in relation to the sharia. But as far as the usul, then the fundamentals are the same. And that is in accordance with the statement of the Prophet ﷺ, الأنبياء إخوة لعلات دينهم واحد وشرائع شتى. That the Anbiya, the prophets and the messengers, are إخوة لعلات. إخوة لعلات are brothers that have the same father but different mothers. And this is a reference to the prophets and the messengers returning back to the same lamp and the same lantern. And that is the lantern and the lamp and the nur of revelation. But Allah Azza wa Jal in places will change an element or aspect of the sharia of one prophet and the sharia of another. As far as the fundamentals though, they are one and the same. And thus we understand then that the prophets and the messengers, when they would give this call, that all of their call in relation to the affairs of the usul were one and the same. And thus we see Shaykhuna Shaykh Rabi' Hafidhullahu Ta'ala in his book Manhaj al-Anbiya, he does not only discuss the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but he discusses the varying other prophets and messengers. And that the varying prophets and messengers, they are evidence for us in relation to the affairs of the usul. And that leads us to an issue related to another one of the fundamentals, ikhwan, in relation to our methodology, and that is the affair of the da'wah to Allah Azza wa Jal. The methodology of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in regards to calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was one that was manifestly clear. Wadih jiddan. For anyone who observed his da'wah and studies his seerah. That is that his da'wah, of course, ayyuhal ikhwa, was based upon the call to tawheed. Awwalan wa akhiran. From the beginning of his life as a messenger and up to the time that Allah Azza wa Jal took his soul. And his da'wah was a call to tawheed. Tawheed, tawheed, tawheed. And that which we see from the varying political calls, from the varying ahzab and the groups and the parties is nothing but a deviation away from the manhaj and the methodology of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in calling to Allah subhanahu. For indeed, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in relation to calling to Allah azza wa jal, his call was based upon tawheed. And it was based upon removing shirk for the one who has the ability to do so. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam was patient in Mecca when he did not have the ability to change shirk and to change the polytheism. He was patient. But when Allah Azza wa Jal gave him quwwah, when we had the conquest of Mecca, then Allah Azza wa Jal commanded the Messenger to purify these lands of that which had defiled it from the shirkiyat and from the asnam and the idols, to remove them. And not only in Mecca, but the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent individuals to Ta'if to remove and to get rid of Al-Lat, the idol that was worshipped there, and sent other of his companions, such as Khalid bin Walid, to remove Al-Uzza. And similarly, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as occurs in the hadith of Uthman ibn Abi al-As, he commanded that the place where the idol worship used to take place, that masajid be built in those places. That he commanded that the masjid be built in the place that the tawaghit were worshipped, to remove them and to establish a masjid in that place. And this is without doubt in order to establish tawheed and to eradicate shirk. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, throughout his life and his da'wah, we see nothing but the establishment of tawheed. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he sent Ali ibn Abi Talib upon a mission, he said, as he mentioned to Abu al-Hayyaj al-Asadi, he said, "Ala ab'athaka ala ma ba'athani Allah aw ba'athani alayhi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." He said, "Should I not send you upon the same mission that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent me upon?" He said, "An la tad'a timthalan إلا طمست ولا قبرا مشرفا إلا سويت." He said that you do not come across an idol or a figurine except that you destroy it. Neither a qabr or a grave that has been raised except that you level it. The Prophet ﷺ likewise, as occurs in the hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah, he prohibited أن يجصص القبر وأن يقعد عليه وأن يبني عليه. He said, Jabir mentioned, the Prophet ﷺ prohibited that a person beautify the grave, or that the grave be sat upon, or that anything be built upon it. Similarly, the Prophet ﷺ, he prohibited the means to shirk when he said, لا تصلوا إلى القبور, don't pray towards graves and don't sit upon them. Even though a person may be praying to Allah, but towards a grave, that is a door towards shirk for the one who sees that and observes that. He himself supplicated to Allah Azza wa Jal, beseeching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as occurs in the hadith of Abi Hurairah. He said, "Allahumma la taj'al qabri wathanan yu'bad اشتد غضب الله على قوم اتخذوا قبور أنبيائهم مساجد. He said, "O Allah, do not make my grave a place that of worship or place that is worshipped or something that is worshipped. Yani an idol that is worshipped, an object of worship. Indeed, the anger of Allah is severe against the people that take the graves of their prophets as places of worship." And this the Prophet ﷺ said prior to his death, yani by a short time. Similarly, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he mentioned the affair of those who came before, who fell into this type of shirk, yani the worshipping of qubur and of graves. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, as occurs in the hadith connected by Imam Ahmad and Imam al-Tabarani and others, he said, لعن الله اليهود والنصارى اتخذوا قبور أنبيائهم مساجد ألا إني أنهاكم عن ذلك. He said, may Allah Azza wa Jal curse the Yahud and the Nasara. Indeed, they took the graves of their prophets as places of prayer, yani as masajid. Verily, I prohibit you from this. And that is alongside the numerous ayat wherein Allah Azza wa Jal commands with the establishment of Tawheed. And so we've seen the da'wah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he sent Mu'adh ibn Jabal and Abu Musa al-Ash'ari to Yemen. He said, إِنَّكَ تَأْتِي قَوْمًا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ فَلْيَكُنْ أَوَّلَ مَا تَدْعُوهُمْ إِلَيْهِ شَهَادَةً أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. That verily you're going to a people from the people of the book. So let the first thing that you call them to be that they bear witness to La ilaha illallah. First thing that he commanded them with was that they bear witness to La ilaha illallah. Similarly, when he would send out his armies, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would send them out and command them to call the enemies to Allah Azza wa Jal first and foremost. It was not just about bloodshed, spilling blood and winning wars. Prophet Sallam sent his armies out with the first mission of calling them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Numerous instances throughout the seerah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we see that his life was filled with the call to Allah Azza wa Jal, as was the life of the prophets and the messengers before him. And thus, this is the call and this is the da'wah of the people of Sunnah and Salafiyya. It is the call to Allah Azza wa Jal, and this call concentrates upon the people in general. It is not a call that concentrates upon rule and the rulers and leaders and overthrowing governments and taking over governments. This was not the call of the prophets and the messengers, neither was it the call of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If it was the call of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when his uncle Abu Talib brought to him the request of Quraysh, when they said that if it is money that you wish, and it is money that you're seeking with this call of yours, we'll gather from all of the wealthiest of us and we'll make you the wealthiest. If it is marriage you're seeking, then we will marry you to 10 of the most beautiful women of Quraysh. And if it is leadership that you seek, then we'll make you leader over us. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he responded by saying that verily I am not able to leave my call, just as you are unable to grab one of those rays from the sun. So the Prophet ﷺ, if it was just about leadership, he would have said, yes, I accept. I will be the leader. And that was not what the Messenger ﷺ was sent with. Similarly, when you look at how the Prophet ﷺ addressed the rulers and the leaders of the varying regions around the Arabian Peninsula, when he would send letters, they were very brief. Aslim taslam. Embrace and you will be saved. And if not, then upon you will be the sin of the Arisiyin. Upon you will be the sin of your people. Simple letters, Ikhwan. He didn't even go himself. Sent messengers with those letters. And so, we see then that the da'wah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam revolved around calling the people to Allah, the people in general. Not focusing and concentrating upon just the wealthy or the notables or people in leadership and people in position, but people in general. When the Prophet ﷺ took the bay'ah from the companions, he took the bay'ah from them upon Tawheed. It occurs in numerous narrations, the hadith of Jarir ibn Abdullah and others. The Prophet ﷺ took the bay'ah to hear and to obey. And yani fi yusrina wa usrina, in times of hardship and times of difficulty, and to enjoin the good and forbid the evil. And that you should speak in the way of Allah and not fear the blame of the blamers. And these bay'ah, they had in them, Ikhwan, the establishment of Tawheed. Bay'ah that they do not commit shirk with Allah Azza wa Jal. Bay'ah that they will fulfill that which the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has placed upon them. Similarly, from the affair of their da'wah, is that their da'wah, ayyuhal ikhwa, was never sirriya. That is, their da'wah was never secret. Other than the initial stage of the da'wah, when the Prophet ﷺ feared and the companions feared for their lives and for their safety, the da'wah, it began in secret. But for that reason, because they feared for their lives and feared for their safety, not that they were saying to the people one thing, but what they really intended was another. Rather, their da'wah had no hidden agenda. And the only reason it was private, or it was in secret, done in secret in the beginning, was because of the fear that they had for themselves. So the Prophet ﷺ, after he was given the command, فَاسْتَعْ بِمَا تُؤْمَرْ, go out and make manifest what you have been commanded. The Prophet ﷺ, he made the da'wah jahriyan, yani public, and it remained public up until the time that the Prophet ﷺ passed away. This da'wah, ayyuhal ikhwa, from the biggest and the greatest of its principles, is enjoining the good and forbidding the evil. And thus, another one of the principles of our methodology, another one of the issues that our manhaj is built upon, is that which is related to increasing in the knowledge of the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal, in the varying sciences of the Sharia. And that is because of the fact that our Sharia, from its principles, is the enjoying of the good and the forbidden of the evil, and one is not able to do so illa bil ilm, except with knowledge. Allah Azza wa Jal has mentioned, kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas ta'muruna bil ma'roof wa tanhawna anil munkar wa tu'minuna billah. You are the best nation sent forward from among mankind. You enjoin the good and you forbid the evil and you believe in Allah. Enjoining the good and forbidding the evil, ayyuhal ikhwa, from its conditions is ilm, is knowledge. Not that we just believe something to be wrong or something to be right. Rather, it is by way of knowledge. When a person increases in the knowledge of the book and the sunnah and the ahkam of the sharia, then Allah Azza wa Jal raises the station of that individual. يرفع الله الذين آمنوا منكم والذين أوتوا العلم درجات. Indeed, Allah Azza wa Jalla will raise those who believe among you and those who have been given knowledge in darajat, in levels. This raising in levels, ikhwan, is because of ilm. And indeed, Allah Azza wa Jalla has praised the people of knowledge. شهد الله أنه لا إله إلا هو والملائكة وأولو العلم قائما بالقسط لا إله إلا هو العزيز الحكيم. Allah Azza wa Jalla has mentioned that Allah bears witness that there is no deity worthy of worship except for Him, and the Malaika, the people of knowledge, and the Malaika of one, the angels and the people of knowledge, that He is establishing justice. There is no deity worthy of worship except for Him, Al-Aziz Al-Hakim. And so the affair of knowledge and the establishment of ilm, without doubt, is from the greatest of our principles in the manhaj. And thus you'll find the scholars, they're calling to increasing in knowledge, them establishing durus, them calling to Allah, establishing dawrat, establishing schools and madaris, establishing every single means by way of which the Ummah al-Islamiyah may increase in the knowledge of the book and the sunnah. This is what will keep us safe, particularly during the times of fitan, and with the increase in fitan and trials, it is being fortified with ilm that will save us during this knowledge. As Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he said, عليكم بالعلم قبل أن يقبض وقبضه ذهاب أهله. He said, cling to knowledge before it is taken, and it being taken is the disappearance of its people, يعني the disappearance of the ulama. And we observe, أيها الإخوة, that they are passing away one after the other. And we now have a handful of real scholars that exist and that are alive, ikhwan. We're living frightening times. And so, it should be a huge encouragement for us to increase in the knowledge of the book and the sunnah and the methodology of the salaf of this ummah. Similarly, from their characteristics is a tawadhu, is that they are humble. Humble when they seek knowledge, humble when they disseminate, have good character with the creation, and in particular with the people of knowledge and with the ulama. As the Prophet ﷺ, he said, لَيْسَ مِنَّا مَنْ لَمْ يُوَقِّرْ كَبِيرَنَا وَيَرْحَمْ سَغِيرَنَا وَيَعْرِفْ لِعَالِمِنَا حَقَّهُ. That indeed he is not from us, the one who does not does not raise the station of our elder and our elders, and have mercy upon our youngsters, and gives the alim his right. And so the characteristic of the people of Sunnah and Salafiyya is this humility, is this mercy, is this hilm. And that, of course, beautifies the call that they are upon, beautifies everything that they carry out, as it beautified the prophets and the messengers when they manifested it with their people. When we observe the methodology of the prophets and the messengers, they had the best character when they interacted with the people, the most noble character. And from those noble characters, أيها الإخوة, that of rifq, that of being gentle and clement, forbearing with the people. Let them see that from us. These claims of being harsh and being extreme with the people and making things difficult for the people, this should not be true of the people of Sunnah and Salafiyyah, just as it was not true for the prophets and the messengers. Let them lie against you if they're going to say that, but let it not be true, ayyuha Salafi. For indeed Allah Azza wa Jal has commanded us, خُذِ الْعَفْوَ وَأْمُرْ بِالْعُرْفِ وَأَعْرِدْ عَنِ الْجَاهِلِينَ. Hold on and cling to pardon and command with that which is good, and turn away from the jahileen, turn away from those who are ignorant. Likewise, from our methodology and our manhaj, the manhaj of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is the affair of al-wala wal-bara. Al-wala wal-bara, that is, allegiance and disavowal for that which Allah Azza wa Jal loves and that which Allah Azza wa Jal hates. The affair of al-wala and bara, in essence, revolves around loving that which Allah Azza wa Jal loves, hating that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "Man ahabba lillah wa kariha lillah wa abghadha lillah wa a'ta lillah wa mana'a lillah faqad istakmana al-iman." Whomsoever loves for Allah, hates for Allah, gives for Allah, and prevents for Allah, then indeed he has completed al-iman. This, no doubt, ikhwan, is from the greatest of the principles of our deen. And we'll round up with a passage in this regard from Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala. Shaykh al-Islam, he mentioned, "Ala al-mu'min an yu'adi fi Allah wa yuwali fi Allah. Fa in kana hunaka mu'minun fa 'alayhi an yuwali wa in zalama fa inna adh-dhulma la yaqta' al-muwalah al-imaniyya." He said, it is upon the believer to have allegiance for Allah and disavowal for Allah. And if there is a believer and a mu'min, then it is upon him to have allegiance to him, even if he has oppressed him. For indeed, oppression does not prevent al-mu'alah, does not prevent allegiance. وَعَلَى ذَلِكَ دَرَجَ السَّلَفِ وَاسْتَقَامَ عَلَيْهِ أَتْبَاعُهُمْ. He said, and upon this, the salaf of this ummah, they remained steadfast, as did their followers. بِحَيْثُ يُوَالُونَ أَهْلَ الْإِيمَانِ وَالْإِسْتِقَامَةِ وَلَا أَنْ أَلَى حَسَبِ مَرَاتِبِهِمْ فِي الْإِيمَانِ بِكُلِّ مَا يَجِبُ عَلَى الْإِيمَانِ بِهِ وَالْإِسْتِقَامَةِ عَلَى الْحَقِّ رَجَاءَ ثَوَابِ اللَّهِ وَخَشْيَةً مِنْ إِقَابِ. That is that they did so with the people of Iman and Istiqama, having allegiance in accordance with their level in Iman. Of course, the stronger, the greater, the more knowledgeable, then they would have greater allegiance to them. In relation and in accordance with everything that is compulsory from the necessities of Iman, and those things that Iman necessitate, and having istiqama and uprightness upon the haqq, seeking the reward of Allah Azza wa Jalla and fearing His punishment. And they held, وَيَقُولُونَ بِلَوَازِمِ هَذَا الْوَلَاءِ مِنَ الْمَحَبَّةِ الشَّرْعِيَّةِ والنصرة على الحق لأهل الاستقامة والإيمان. That is, that they would have this allegiance, and that which this allegiance necessitates from having legislated love and aiding in accordance with the haqq, yani giving aid to the people of Iman in accordance with the haqq. He mentioned, وَبِجَانِبِ ذَلِكَ هم يعادون الكفر والملحدين والمشركين والمنافقين وأصحاب الأهواء والبدع وذلك بحسب الضرر الصادر منهم على الإيمان والمسلمين. He said, and then alongside this, they would have this disavowal for the kafara and for the heretics and for the mushrikun and for the munafiqun and for the people of ahwa, the people of desires and bid'ah. And that is in accordance with the harm that comes from them upon Islam and the Muslimin. As occurs, ayyuhal ikhwa, for anyone who wants to return back to that, in Majmu' al-Fatawa, volume 28, page 208 to 209.